This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Markets fall sharply as more countries report their first coronavirus infections. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Coronavirus infections continue to spread outside of China. Bahrain, Kuwait, and Afghanistan have seen their first cases. In Italy and South Korea, there have been sharp increases in infections, and markets there have reacted strongly, falling around 4%. Asian currencies and the price of crude oil have also fallen. Here's the BBC's Andrew Walker.
Sharp increases in the number of coronavirus cases reported in South Korea and Italy have hit global financial markets. The impact was especially pronounced in those countries, but is not confined to them. The market reaction reflects the impact on business of reduced travel, resulting both from increasingly extensive official restrictions and personal choices. That's hitting sales of goods and services, especially in transport and tourism businesses. Share prices have been pushed lower, along with Asian currencies and crude oil. However, assets regarded as safe havens, notably gold and U.S. government bonds, have seen prices rise.
That was Andrew Walker with our editorial partner, the BBC. France is reporting a decline in tourists visiting that country, a decline of 30 to 40%, less than expected. 2.7 million Chinese tourists visit France every year. France's finance minister told CNBC those numbers would not be the same in 2020. Let's do the numbers. Let's take a look. France's CAC is down 3.60%. The FTSE in London is down 3.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 2.5 to 2.8% range, with the Dow future down 730 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.39%. New immigration rules kick in today. The Trump administration is directing immigration officers to pay closer attention to people's use of certain public benefits when they are applying for a visa or a change in immigration status. Using certain benefits could be a disqualifier for some immigrants. This public charge rule has been met with ongoing legal challenges. It's still being challenged in Illinois, but the Supreme Court ruled it can go into effect nationwide. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams.
Cash support, food aid, housing assistance. Officials now have to consider whether visa or green card applicants have used or even might use these services. Mercedes Badia-Tavis is an immigration lawyer at Barnes and Thornburg.
The intent is to have those that are youthful, healthy, educated, with the financial ability to immigrate to the United States.
The Trump administration says the goal is to make sure immigrants can be self-sufficient. Many communities already saw drops in people using things like Medicaid because it could affect their immigration status. Shelby Gonzalez is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
It's unclear to what extent states and localities will feel like they need to step in and create a new safety net of services.
Officials say some benefits, like children's insurance, won't hurt immigrants' chances. Gonzalez says people have been avoiding those programs just to be safe. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
International aid can be diverted, stolen through corruption or theft sent to offshore bank accounts. Niels Johansen is a professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Copenhagen. He's taken a look at this for the World Bank, and we want to talk to him about it. Good morning, Niels.
Good morning.
So you looked at places that received foreign aid where money was going in, and you also looked at how much money suddenly started leaving that country at the same time. Can you tell us what you found?
Some people have claimed, you know, that the aid is not very useful because it is likely, I mean, it often flows to very corrupt countries and it is likely to be, you know, appropriated by corrupt elites rather than going to those poor people who need the aid. And so the idea behind our paper is to say, well, let's look at what happens in bank accounts in places like Switzerland, Luxembourg, Cayman Islands, Singapore, in the same quarters where very poor countries get these disbursements of foreign aid. And what we find is a pretty striking result. So we see that exactly like when these large aid disbursements, they hit the poor countries, we see on average so increases in deposits on these offshore accounts.
What percentage of aid do you estimate gets siphoned off, sent to offshore accounts?
So we estimate that something along the lines of 5 to 8% is diverted to offshore accounts.
When we're talking about aid, are we talking about like government-to-government aid? And so it's, you know, money that goes through the government and gets siphoned off?
So our study only looks at aid disbursements from the World Bank simply because this is the donor that has the best data available. So we're able to actually study data down to the project level. So for each individual project, we see like how this money is dispersed to poor countries at the quarterly level.
Do you have any sense of where the money is getting diverted? Is it getting diverted inside of local governments or inside of local business ventures?
I think our best guess is that it's probably people in governments that are behind most of this, but it could also be money flowing to private firms and then paying kickbacks, you know, back to officials or bureaucrats.
What are the economic implications of this for countries that really need the help?
I mean, so you could say mechanically, it means that there's some kind of leakage, you know, that there is just whenever you give a dollar to a poor country in the form of aid, there is a small fraction of it that is being that ends up in the wrong pockets, you could say. And I think that, I mean, that hardly surprises anyone. One way to look at it is to say, well, if 5% of every dollar you pay is lost or end in the wrong pocket, well, that means that maybe 95 end up in the right pocket. So maybe this is even less bad than you could have feared.
Niels Johansen is professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Copenhagen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.